want to keep in the theme of that testimony that we're hearing from the Fed Chairman Jay Powell. Again, on the Senate side of the Capitol today, he was speaking about the Federal Reserve perhaps being a bit behind the curve on inflationary pressures, having a little bit of humility in his testimony earlier this morning. Take a listen to what the Fed Chairman said with regards to not deciding to tighten policy last year.
By the middle of last year, we started to move away from it, and we moved away from it at an increasing rate of speed. Hindsight says we should have moved earlier, and that turned out to be wrong. Not maybe conceptually wrong, but it's just taking so much longer for the supply side to heal than we thought. So in hindsight, you certainly wouldn't have done that. But I think there really is no precedent for this. We looked at it the way it was. There were certainly some voices, and they've turned out to be right so far.
Let's bring in Thomas Phillipson, University of Chicago economist and former White House Council of Economic Advisors chair under the Trump administration for more on this. Thomas, it's great to have you on the program. You know, it's not often you hear a Fed chairman say, look, we may have gotten it wrong. And obviously 2020 or 2021 in hindsight, what do you think is kind of the big admission from the Federal Reserve here as we do expect them to start hiking interest rates later this month?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think, you know, mistiming, the Fed is in the business essentially of imposing price controls in credit markets to try to dampen the business cycle. That's kind of where a lot of what they do. And ever since the Fed was created, basically, economists have wondered whether they have the ability to time those price controls adequately. And we're right now in a situation which is sort of exhibit one, how difficult that is. We're actually still in an inflationary policy stance as of today. March has not occurred yet, even though we have rampant inflation. At the same time, it may ramp up rates, even though it's only 25 as opposed to 50, given his comments, in a period where we have, you know, a raging uncertainty about a potential effects of an unknown war that's escalating. So this is sort of history repeats itself again. It's not because the Fed is incapable or they're not smart. It's just impossible for a government to kind of keep up with markets or events in a way that actually uses these price controls to achieve their goal.
Yeah, I don't think anyone here is jealous of Jay Powell's, you know, challenge here in walking that tightrope. But then having said that, why would the Fed chairman want to paint himself into the corner of saying we're going to do 25 basis points in March? You usually don't hear a Fed chairman precede a decision by saying that outright, especially when you consider we have a new print on jobs tomorrow, and then we're going to get another read on inflation next week, which could show a very different picture. So is there a real risk here of the Fed making a communications mistake?
I don't know about the communications mistake, but there's a real risk with their policy, right? This is kind of Econ 101 coming back to haunt modern monetary theory, right? When you increase the supply of anything, the price of it is going to decrease. So when you increase the supply of money, the value of money is going to decrease, i.e. inflation. And what we've seen is an enormous increase in money supply. This is not really a mystery what's going on. And the White House and others' arguments that this is collusion or supply chain issues just flies in the face of about 75% of measured prices in CPI are increasing above the Fed rate Fed target of 2%. So it's a very broad type of price increase or inflation, which has nothing to do with 75% of industries colluding all of a sudden or particular supply chains being strained. So I think, you know, what they're doing, whether they do 50 or 25 is kind of relevant, I think, because real rates are going to be, you know, in the negative fives with 7% inflation and at the most, maybe 2% nominal rate. So I think this is all kind of window dressing relative to the forces, what's going on.
Thomas, it's Akiko here. Let's talk about what's playing out over in Eastern Europe and the Russian invasion of Ukraine. We have seen commodity prices spike on the back of all of this. I'm looking at oil right now, pared back some of the gains that we saw, but it did reach the highest level since 2008. Energy levels, the cost there, the inflation coming from that was already a big concern even before the military activity began. When you think about what's playing out over in Ukraine, what do you see as the biggest economic risk?
So the biggest issue here, I think, if you step back a little bit, is that, you know, everyone has argued that Russia's, you know, relying on Russia for energy is a very, very difficult geopolitical risk. And we're obviously seeing that played out now. It's been argued for several decades. More importantly, I think the green policies, you know, pushed here in the U.S. And in Germany as well, particularly, have essentially, you know, they basically are switching to more costly energy. If green energy was less expensive than fossil fuels, the market would eliminate fossil fuels very quickly, much quicker than the governments could, essentially. So the whole issue here is that green energy is more expensive. But what these governments have done is, in effect, make a switch to more green energy, that is to say more expensive energy, and at the same time, increased global warming, because we're substituting our greener fossil fuels with Russia's more brown fossil fuels in the process. Both Germany, who relied 50% roughly on gas and oil from Russia, and we less so, but we have substituted, you know, cleaner gas in Germany and the U.S. for dirtier gas coming from Russia. So these citizens of both U.S. and Germany are paying higher energy prices for more global warming. That's the current situation we're in. And obviously, this price is helping Putin enormously finance his war, given the export, given the large exports of oil and gas in Russia.
So, Thomas, on that point, then, we've seen the sanctions that have been coming out so far. Some governments, including our own, kind of whiffling a little bit on exactly how much they want to sanction Russian oil imports. Do you feel like the sanctions are doing enough then to address that, to essentially isolate the Russian economic influence that they have over not just the United States, but a number of European countries as well?
I mean, they're obviously going after the oligarchs and et cetera with sanctions, and they're freezing their central bank. No one is touching their main source of revenue, which is becoming more and more valuable with these price hikes, obviously, which is their energy exports. Like I said, Germany is relying half roughly on Russia and their energy demand. So it's very difficult for them to get out quickly. What I think if this is done, this tension in Ukraine is done, is reset everyone to understand that this is a real potential risk and we need to get out of it in the long term. I don't think it's going to happen in the short term because it's too costly to impose those high energy costs right now. But potentially, I think there's going to be a huge shift in the long term.
All right. Thomas Philipson over at the University of Chicago, and again, formerly of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Thanks so much for stopping by this afternoon.